The title of this sermon today is that the struggle is real. How many of you struggle with something? We all struggle with something. We do. And I think if we say we don't, we may be lying, because there's a target on every one of our backs from the devil, and he's trying to take us out. The struggle is real. And what is a struggle? A struggle is something that we put an effort to. We sometimes feel restrained by something, and we try forcefully to get away from it. But we know that there's power in the blood. Amen. And we know what Christ is doing in the most holy place. Amen. That's why we must persevere in faith. These verses in Hebrew that we read this morning is pointed out the single-hearted purpose that should characterize the Christian race for eternal life. Envy, malice, evil thinking, evil speaking, unforgiveness, and covetousness, these are weights that Christians must lay aside if he would run successfully the race for immortality. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Father God, we thank you again for the opportunity to be here, dear Lord. It is an honor to serve you. We thank you for the song the young man sung, for we are bound, dear Lord. And I pray that we never lose that faith and never lose that hope, because soon all this will be over. And God, we thank you for standing in our place, interceding for us. And we know that you know our weakness, and you're there to help us if we call on you. Ask you to be with me here today, dear Lord, for me to step aside and let you stand in my place. In Jesus' name I pray, we thank you for being our God, and may we be a people that you say, these are my children to whom I am well pleased. In Jesus' name, amen. Every habit or practice that leads us into sin and brings us dishonor upon Christ must be put away, church. Whatever the sacrifice may be, the blessings of heaven cannot attend any man in violating the eternal principles of right. The struggle is real. I want to give share a little testimony. You ever heard of the soda Coca-Cola? I didn't realize I was addicted to Coca-Cola, because I would drink one every once in a while. And I didn't realize I had a problem until one day, in the bus, we was going for a weekend to go feed the homeless. And we was downtown Dallas, and so we was heading back home. And I was 45 minutes from the house, and you know those last miles get harder, the last miles. And I said to myself, man, I need to stop and get a Coke where I can finish these miles. Our little bus have sleeping quarters. I didn't call on God. I called on Coca-Cola. And I know the struggle is real. The Bible says we're overcomers. Man call it addictions, but the Bible calls it strongholds. There are habits. Anything we got to have besides Jesus, it becomes a little bitty God. The only thing we have to have is Jesus. Amen? The power of the blood of Jesus has provided everything we need to live. And life of victory, including redemption, fellowship, protection, and healing. And authority over the devil and his devices. Every disciple of Jesus struggled. That's why Jesus kept telling them, haven't I told you? Haven't I told you? He repeated that several times in Scripture. Because they weren't getting it. They were struggling with the flesh. There's life in the blood. As Christians, we know about the blood. The sanctuary, the blood. We sing the hymn, the blood. And we remembered it during communion The blood. The blood radiation is what connects body to spirit and serves as a mean of communication between the two. Life is in the blood. Any deficiencies in the blood composites directly affects our spiritual ability to stay connected to our physical body. Every change in the blood, good or bad, changes our state of being and influence our psychic state. Listen, church, that's the mind. Our psychic state is here, and that's what Satan wants. It's our minds. Do we realize that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in us and was given to us by God? You do not belong to yourself. So we must honor God with our bodies. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. What we can't do to our bodies what we want to do, because we're just stewards. We don't own anything. The car you drove up in, the house you live in, the clothes you wear, it all belongs to the Lord. How many sanctuaries are there? There's the heavenly sanctuary. There's the earthly sanctuary. And then there's man. There's us. This is what 1 Corinthians 3:16-17 says. Know ye not ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If any man defiles the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which ye are. And God don't destroy us. He removed his hands. We destroy ourselves when things happen to us a lot of times. It's from our diet and different things. We have to let God have his way in us, with us, to clean our temple, church, because we're living in the last days. After we come into the gate of the sanctuary, what is the first thing we come to? Anybody? When we come into the gate, what is the first thing you come to? It's the altar of sacrifice. That's the first thing we come to in the sanctuary, the altar of sacrifice. And then we come to the laver to be cleansed. Counsel on Diet and Food, page 69, this is what Sister White says. I was again shown that the health reform is one of the branch of the great work, which is to fit a people for the coming of the Lord. It is as closely connected. You know, when I started this, I said I wasn't going to cry up here. But I tell you, the struggle is real. It is closely connected to the third angel's message, as the hand is with the body. The law of the Ten Commandments has been lightly regarded by man. But the Lord would not come to punish the transgressors of the law without first sending them a message of warning. I'm going to get me a little napkin here real quick. Y'all still with me? Amen. And the third angel's message proclaimed that message. Romans 12:2 says this: be not conformed to this world, church, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's your character. The devil wants our mind. He wants who we are. Men and women cannot violate natural law by indulging deprived appetite and lustful passion and not violate the law of God. Therefore, he has permitted He has permitted the light of health reform to shine upon us, that we see our sins, that we can see that our sins in violating the laws which he has, God has established in our being. All our enjoyment or all our sufferings may be traced to obedience or transgression of natural law. The devil don't care for our bodies. He wants our minds. Life is in the blood, what we eat, drink. Our bodies is speaking to us through our diet, but God is speaking to us through our spirit. And one thing I don't do, I don't push diet on anybody. You do what you want to do. My struggle is big enough. You know, my wife and I have been doing, we've been doing pressure points on people. We help people overcome chronic pains and different things like that. So we do the pressure points. And we have a young lady that's coming over with scoliosis that we're going to try to help correct her. She's 13 years old. And we have learned in this about how the blood works. You know, Sister White says the nerves demand nutrition. The blood demands nutrition. Our brain demands nutrition. And when we don't eat right, we don't think right. And Satan is coming at us with everything that he got, church. He's coming. And if we're not treating our bodies like we're supposed to, we're not going to be able to hear God. We're going to hear the wrong voice, which is the devil.
Amen.
Philippians 2:12 says this, work out your own salvation. God leads us all in different ways. God try to talk to us all in different ways. And I pray that we listen. As the ministration of Jesus closed in the holy place, and he passed into the most holy place and stood before the ark that was containing the law of God, he sent another mighty angel with a third message to the world. This angel was designed to put the children of God upon their guard. That's us. He was trying to put us on guard, to be on guard, by showing them the hour of temptation and anguish that was before them, said the angels. They will be brought into close combat with the beast and his image. Their only hope of eternal life is to remain steadfast, although their lives are at stake. They must hold fast the truth. That's in early writings, page 254. The only way we're going to hold fast is by being in line with God. As the third angel closed with his message, Revelation 14:12 says this, here are the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God. You know, we talked about that in Sabbath school. Do we truly love God? Are we truly going to be obedient what God says to do? There's no ifs, ands, or buts. It's either one way or the other. And the faith of Jesus, as he repeated these words, he pointed to the heavenly sanctuary. The minds of all who embrace this message are directed to the most holy place. What is Jesus doing in the most holy place? He's interceding. He's interceding for us. So, where should we be? With him. The Bible says, follow the Lamb wherever the Lamb goes. If Jesus is here, we should be there spiritually. We have to stay connected with Christ. And that's why our diet plays such... It plays such an important role, church. Where Jesus stands before the ark, making his final intercession for all those for whom mercy still lingers, and those who have ignorantly broken the law of God. And that's found in early writings, page 254. I want to say this too, church. We don't have no more time to play around. We got to stop the mess and do our best at the things that we know to do. God has permitted the light to shine of health reform upon us in these last days. We should be afflicting our souls. We should be searching our souls, asking God to show us what's inside of us. That by walking in the light, we may escape many of the dangers to which we shall be exposed to. Satan, he's working hard with great power to lead men and women to indulge appetite and spend their days in do as you please. You heard that sound before? What happened in the garden? What did Satan tell Adam and Eve? Ye won't surely die. He tells us the same thing. Do what you want to do. You won't surely die. The choice is up to you. But it's not true, church. It's not true. He presents attractions in our lives of selfish enjoyment and of sensual indulgence. Intemperance slaps and drains our energy of both mind and our body. He who is overcome by these things has placed himself upon Satan's ground, where he will be tempted and ignored, and then finally controlled at pleasure by the enemy of righteousness. The struggle is real, church, but God has made a way through the blood. Our conduct in this world will decide our eternal destiny. As we sow, we must reap. Cause will be followed by effect. And praise God for grace. Amen. What is grace and how can it help us to endure in these last days? Ephesians 1:3-8 says, grace is God's touch in our lives. Romans 3:23-24 and Ephesians 2:4-5, grace is our redemption through Jesus Christ. And we can do nothing without him. Romans 4:16 and 2 Corinthians 6:1-2, grace is God's favor toward us. Titus 2:11-12, God's grace transforms us and inspires us to live a godly life. James 4:4-6, God's grace gives power to the humble who desires to obey him. Philippians 4:19, God, by his grace, pours out his riches and provision on us. 2 Corinthians 12:7-10, God's grace give us strength, church, in our time of need. Don't give up. Someone is praying for you right now. Jesus is. He's praying for you. He knows all of our weaknesses. He knows the struggles. And he knows the struggle is real because he's been here. He's been there. He have gone through everything that we can imagine that we may be going through. Our thing is that we have to persevere until the end. We have help in time of need if we want it. That's what we have to decide on if we want it. We're going to get ready to move on to the closing song. And I want you to think about something. And at the closing song, the music gonna keep playing. And if you want to come up for prayer, we're going to have special prayer. And Brother Elder, if you would come up, Brother Jim, and pray for everyone. So we'll go ahead and close the song, because the Savior is waiting, church, to enter our hearts. It's up to us to let him come in. The Savior's waiting, church. You know, we don't have much longer to be here in this world, because something got to give. You know, it can't take much more. You know, the Apostle Paul went to God for help with his physical weakness. Whatever it was, now the Bible doesn't say, but he writes this: "But God said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." 2 Corinthians 2:9. Every committed Christian longs to experience God's power flowing through his or her life. However, God's power at its best is only manifest through a believer who acknowledges his weakness. Because when we acknowledge our weakness, God stands in our place. Jesus fills in the gap. God is not the kind of father who wants his children to grow up, leave the nest, and get out there on their own. Rather, he desires that we always stay close to home so that he can shelter, protect, and provide for us. So go ahead, church, and boast about your weakness. It's all right. The more you boast of your need for God, the more you avail yourself to his power. And one last thing, always remember where you first saw the light, and you go back to that light.
Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the promise of the Word, the promise of Jesus Christ, that all things are possible through him. Amen. And we are thankful, Lord, that you are an all-powerful Savior, that you are with us in every joy and trial and tribulation of life. And we are so grateful for those promises, which we know you are keeping moment by moment, day by day. And we come to you at this special time on behalf of our church, behalf of the church family, behalf of our friends and neighbors, our extended families. And Lord, we know the burdens are many, they are great. But thank God for Jesus, who is the burden bearer. And as the Apostle Peter said, casting all our care on him, for Jesus cares for us. Lord, may we ever stay focused on these promises, looking to you as the author and finisher of our faith. And we can only do this in the name of Jesus. We are unworthy. We are sinners, but praise God, being saved by grace. In his name we pray. Amen.